Okay, so for everybody who's joining us from listening, we have several of our members of the End Times community, and our first topic for this, our very first mastermind call, is on the topic of media marketing. So who has had some success with media marketing that they'd like to share, and tips for Tammy?
Well, depends on what you classify as media marketing. I mean, media on online marketing, I know one or two things. What I have been experiencing is concretely it's a diminishing of the attention span of people that, you know, live on the web, because there's a lot of noise out there, and this is the biggest problem you have. You can have a fantastic content, and you can have everything ready, but if your message is not getting out, it will get out eventually. You can work in SEO, yada, 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 but to bring attention right away for what you have to offer now is very difficult, because you have to break through the noise that is the internet, you know, open internet. So the attention span is very reduced, the coefficient of attention span. So right now, in order to have a marketing pitch in this environment, I'm talking about specifically internet and even in radio as well, now that we are experiencing, you know, a little bit more in depth, especially with the 24 hours going on all the time, is the attention span. So a message has to be precise, clean, transparent, crisp, you know, and for our public, we notice it has to be very elegant, elegantly put, you know, visually pleasing, but to the point, which directs me to another thing that I actually have been studying a lot, and it's part of one of our own seminars or our own things that we have as a group, which is because the internet is so diverse, to say the least. Well, the creation of content is not as relevant as it is to make your message be understood. And I'll explain. What I was thinking basically is there is a lot of need for repackaging the same message, so a person doesn't need to be creating a new message every day. You don't need to be in a frenzy of creating content, because people will read, and, you know, our public will understand. But other publics that come from the first time, for instance, the magazine, they will not understand. They need a breakdown. So the same content, and I will use Angela as an example. So her book is The Healing Environment. This can be understood in absolutely all the levels possible. The healing environment for the personal, you know, personal experience, social experience, the family experience, the community experience, the global experience. So this in itself. So when you cater to a marketing media, the same thing goes. There is not the reinvention of the wheel, but, you know, ultimately is the way you package it in bits that will reach a person in exactly 5 seconds. You have to calculate 5 seconds. 4 years ago, we did an intensive and, you know, experimental marketing research over a long time, because we wanted to know who was our audience, what was that they wanted, and then we got like 65% to 70% were women. You know, from this group of women, we had women from 45 to 75. You know, but now we actually went down a little bit. We are starting to enter to the, you know, to the universe, the cross section of the 35 years old women. So
okay.
We do it the day, we spend it.
Right, and Leanne, you know, I'd like to piggyback on what you just said. I mean, really understanding your demographic is hugely important because depending on what the demographic is, they may be more likely to be on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or something like that. So you have to understand where your demographic is hanging out and what your tribe is looking for. And a lot
exactly.
of times they're looking for content
exactly.
and to be inspired by the brand. In order to follow it. How about
exactly.
Go ahead. So how about some other folks? What venues have you found to be especially useful in getting the message out?
For me?
No, I'm just happen to everybody that's on the call so that, you know, everybody gets a chance. Angela, Chessie, do you have you had any successes in media marketing?
I'm not sure what I qualify as a success. I'm getting a lot of attention just in the last little while. One of the things that's helped is my radio show because that sort of spreads the message out even more. One of the things I have found out is that when people ask you, who are you and what do? The quicker you have an answer to that, the better off you are. And I will admit that I write up a couple, use cut and paste to get it out there quickly. For the conciseness that you were talking about and the transparency, that's been a challenge for me. I do so many diverse things that trying to get people to understand what it is I truly do has been confusing for me, so it has been for my clientele as well. So all I've done so far is just keep at it and keep explaining and keep trying to come to calls like this so that I can get better information because everything has changed so much. I've been doing this for close to 20 years now, so the changes have been huge. So I'm just kind of one foot in front of the other until I understand what it is I think I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and that's a great point because we do have to be clear about what our message is and the brand that we're putting forward. The brand that's being projected, and it can change over time. But if we don't even know, or we can't say how, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing it, then our confusion will relay into the marketing message too. It'll be a very muddled message.
So one of the things that happened to me just the other day, I was whining about this very topic to someone who's helping me with all of this, and he said to me, he said, who are you, and what do you want your business to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, wow, and that'll be difficult to answer. And so I sat down with guidance and meditated on it and got a channeled message, and that was quite helpful because it sort of laser-focused everything for me where I hadn't had that before. I haven't had an opportunity to use it or get any feedback on it or anything yet, but it kind of took the fuzziness away from the rest of the stuff that was going on in my head when I was asked this question.
Right, and at the same time, you know, yes, you have a radio show, but people have to find the radio show.
Oh, sure,
so you
yeah.
also have to be promoting that.
Now, what I do with that is I cascade that out on 5 different social sites and invite people to join and to share.
There you
and
go, yep.
That's what I do with that. I have really good write-ups for each guest that I have, and I push that out there, not just on the page with the radio show, but on these other 5 media sites that I use, and refer them back to the main page that I'm using, which is on Facebook at this particular time, to get more information. And on my website, I invite people to sign up for a newsletter so that I can kind of consolidate everything and send that out also. So I try to cascade everything as wide as I can.
Yeah, and, you know, with your descriptions of your guests and all, that prompts them to then share as well. So I think with media marketing, it's really critical that we don't feel like we're alone in it, that we're also engaging other people that then share the message. I think it's a more collaborative type of marketing.
You're right. Something popped into my head while you were speaking. When I first started doing this years ago, I was afraid to give away anything. I was afraid to tell anybody what I was doing, go to the website and find out for yourself. But I have discovered that it is exactly what you said. It's a sharing process. It's a transparency and an openness to let everybody in. And it's a win-win-win when you cascade their information out. They'll take yours out, too. So when I do these things for my guests, I make sure that all of their contact information is written down so that people can use it, not just what they say on the show. And that is broadening that horizon a great deal, because then they've got everything in one place and all they have to do is say, hey, go there, listen to this and read that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, now, as the time just ended for this topic. Okay?
Thank you, guys. Good information.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you, guys. That was good information.
Oh, I'm so glad. Okay, good. Okay, is Carmen on the call?
Yes, but actually it's not Carmen. I am a teacher, Carmen's husband. Carmen was not able to attend today, so I'm here taking her place.
Great, wonderful. Well,
yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move to your topic then, and your topic is how to market a spiritual online store. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yes, we are doing a website where we offer some spiritual materials for people, and also We are selling clothes or jewelry and all kinds of stuff with the spiritual messages and positive messages for people. But we are not experts in marketing, so we have we need some advice to start doing some good marketing strategies, because we still have Facebook page, we do some Twitter, or we have Instagram, but probably the way we are doing it is not very effective, so that's why we are asking about that.
Okay, so to clarify, the website is already created and set up.
Yes.
And who is your target market? Who is the community that you're trying to reach?
Actually, we have adult people, but sometimes young people are still interested in the things we share. So we are trying to do it in a wide range of people, you know.
Okay, so you don't have an ideal customer, then. You want a broad stroke, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Who'd like to be the first to give some feedback to Caesar?
Hi.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Angela, and I don't have a store per se, but I think both the conversation that we had just with Tammy and this one, I think, about media in general, I have a few comments on. So generally, when I look at what I'm doing, I have an approach that's relational, so meaning that I get my idea of my brand out there, and I let people know what it is and the spirit of what it is I offer that helps to grow my brand and my relation ability, if that's a word, to my customer. And then I have another aspect, which is more how I look at a transactional activity. So how it is I directly sell to people. because I think sometimes I think both is important, because you want to build awareness of your brand or your store or your website or whatever it is, but you want to do it in such a way that people make that heart-to-heart connection and don't feel like they're being aggressively sold to. And then on the other hand, there, I believe that there's ways, for example, through newsletters. I think that there's places where people expect to get sold to, and I think they're much more open to that. So my suggestion is find ways to do both. Like, for example, I find that newsletters, I take a more transactional approach. People expect sort of to be sold to through a newsletter versus when I'm on social media and I'm posting things on Twitter or on Facebook, for example. So thinking about who your audience is and how you can approach them from both ways, because if you write content for a blog, for example, and you bring people to your webpage, or your website, that is just another opportunity for them to know about your brand. And then as they start to peruse your website and they start to connect with you in the spirit from which you're selling stuff, then they start to look at your page. So I think there needs to be both avenues, both relational and transactional.
And okay, and I have a question about the newsletters. We try to send some newsletters to a group of people, but we are not sure where is the best content for that people, because we think sometimes if you offer a lot of things you are selling, probably people is not going to be very comfortable with that. So we try to mix that with some interesting content or some article or something to share with people. So I don't know how to balance the content of the newsletters in order to get a better result.
I can help you with that. This is Diane. And
okay.
I have a website, and the main thing when you have a website is to build your list. And it's really important to have your mailing list, because then, and it's an opt-in mailing list, meaning that they actively sign up and approve you, you know, allowing you to send them things, because then you know that you have a captive audience, and these are the people that are definitely interested in what you have to sell. And a lot of times people are reluctant to give their information, so that when you're building your list, make sure that they know that their privacy is protected, that you're not going to share their contact information with them, but also to offer them something for signing up, like give them a reward for that. So give them a special article about spiritual products or whatever it is you wouldn't offer anywhere else. So, for example, when people sign up for my list on Forest Magic, they get a free course, a free one-hour interactive course that they can take on their phone. So that will entice them to give you their information.
Okay.
Right, but the main thing is to get the people who are definitely interested, and you won't know unless they're signing up. Do you have a sign-up page where you can collect data for that?
Yes. In our website, we have a format they fill with information and email address and everything to get the newsletters later. Yeah.
And for balancing the newsletter, I would say take a look at the products that you're selling, and what kinds of information would help you sell something. So, for example, if you're selling pendulums, right? Putting articles in the newsletter about how to use a pendulum, all the ways that you can test energy with it. You could use it in a Reiki session. You could use it outside. You could test your sacred space. You could ask it questions, you know, and then you put the link at the bottom of the article to the buy page for the pendulum.
Okay, now, can I interject? Yes, can I interject a little bit? Because I am the one that actually, you know, do the, what do I call, the cleaning up of garments, articles to go in the magazine. You guys have a huge amount of places that you send people to. So what we have learned before, and I don't believe that Carmen was another conference calls that we had at home times. You can't send the person to 10,000 places. Your byproducts here, come here to this website, read about it in this one, in this one. You have to be very consistent, because it's like, I guess, like again, there's too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that goes to be your client and going to be somebody interested in you, they have to go to one central place. You cannot keep sending them to, or go here to my 10,000 pages on Facebook, or my this and this one page, and you know, contact us on Facebook, or website and Facebook is in one website only. It's just like, it's just for your benefit. Because as you go, you don't want people to be dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it goes, you have to capture that person in 5 seconds. That's the thing. 5 seconds is your shot. You know, I mean, when they read an article, they go say, who did this article? Mm. If, you know, you get in the same breath, they like the article, they want to see what you have. If you have 10,000 things, they will click one and they won't generate anything else. They go to Facebook and say, yes, Facebook. They may click to be a friend or not, but you have to have very clean and a specific target. Once the article goes out and we publish and we put it out there, you have to be very simple and very targeted. So it's like the same thing with the bio. For you guys' bio, it's like we're producing a movie, you know, in the future. We have this, we have that. It's like these people don't have the time. They're usually reading on their mobile phones. And if you put a bio that's 500 words, they will not read it.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the big bio has to be in your website, in the little bio, and that's the reason we have 60 words maximum bio, you know, to websites only. It doesn't work going all the way around. That's just the way it is. So there's a lot of polishing that can be done, and those simple methods can actually help you guys a lot.
I do, Rhiannon. Definitely, when it's all over the place, and whether it's when it feels labor intensive to try to get to the place you're trying to direct them, like you want to take them very cleanly from one place to the next, to where the buy page is, because that's what you're ultimately trying to get them to do, is to buy product, right?
Yeah.
So you have to lead them to that product. And if you write in a way that is written to your ideal client, that really helps. And also, I've found that collecting testimonials from customers who are highly satisfied with your products or services is really helpful, because then you put those up on the website and it gives people confidence about dealing with you. It's the know, like, and trust factor. So you want them to get to know who you are, what you stand for, get them to like you, and to trust that when they put their credit card information into your website, it's not only going to be a good experience, but it's a safe experience.
Mm-hmm.
We have about a minute and a half left. Who else would like to weigh in on this topic?
Okay. This
is Jesse. Just real quick. You said that you didn't have a specific target market, that you kind of wanted to market to everybody, and I would suggest that maybe you're casting your net a little too wide. One of the exercises I did that helped me along those lines is to sit down and make up a hypothetical client, a buyer. What do they look like? What are they looking for? What age group do they fall in? And just create the perfect customer for your website, Caesar. And then after you get that firmly in your head, these other things that have just been suggested will come a little easier to you, because you have a clearer, laser-focused target market.
Okay, perfect.
right, because nobody can be all things to everyone. So decide where you want to fall, and go there first, and then the rest of it will kind of take care of itself.
Perfect.
And
right under the wire.
Okay, let me just see one thing, Diane. Here's the thing. For instance, I'm going to give you an example of that. Clear.
Hey, wait, Annie, we're finished with that topic. That was the time on that topic.
Okay, thank you, everyone, for your help, okay?
Okay.
You're welcome. So now we have the final topic, and then we'll close, okay? So topic is, and it's actually my topic, and that is online learning. So I'm the founder of Wing Academy of Unfoldment. I teach live classes in colleges, in adult schools, at my home, but I also do it by phone. And what I'm doing is creating a website where I'm transferring all of that into self in multimedia, so video, audio, text, and so people can go on and purchase the course and take it as self-study, and then have like a discussion group that's associated with that, so everybody can interact in the group online so that they don't feel so alone. So what I'm trying to do is understand what people consider to be the pros and cons of online learning and any barriers that may prevent potential students from taking advantage of self-study courses offered online. And just one little caveat, these classes will be able to be accessed on any device, so PC, Mac, tablet, phone. So, has anybody taken an online class, and what was your experience?
Hi, this is Angela. I have been a participant. I also have several classes that are on Udemy and a couple other platforms. And one of the things that I face challenges with, and I like that you can access it directly from your website, because I've got to say that that's probably the biggest barrier, is that people don't want to sign up to a third-party platform and then be bombarded by all of the newsletter subscriptions and, you know, class, all of the other class information for it. So I got to say that has been challenging for me. Another thing that I found challenging is that there's so many platforms coming up now. I probably get 4 or 5 a week of people saying, we're starting this new online platform, we'd love to carry your class, and I feel that kind of sort of created a lot out there, so people have kind of diluted things. So that was another thing that I have run into, is that there's just so many out there now, and I would love to hear other people's ideas as well, because I find them hard to promote, and maybe I need to do what you're doing, is put them directly on my website to get rid of that sort of hesitance that people have for signing up for a third party. And another thing too is I think that people struggle with, because there are so many and there's different varying levels of quality. And
right.
I think that people are concerned about, okay, so I sign up for this, what is this going to look like, and is this something that's professionally produced?
Right. Great point. And actually, I've taken courses on Udemy, and what I find about that site is that it's really targeted for people who are learning skills, like actual skills, whether it's internet skills or whatever, marketing, things like that. And I've taken a couple of their marketing classes about marketing online courses. So that site is very different than, say, Daily Ohm, which only focuses on spiritual classes. But that system feels very antiquated to me, and they don't really, the way that it's you have to search for things on that site is very tedious and difficult. So I'm trying to make this as clean as possible, and it's I'm also having a try before you buy philosophy. So one or two modules will be free for people to, anybody can go in there and look and see what the class is going to be about, kind of experience the instructor, and decide, you know, does this feel right to me before they make a purchase.
I've taken a couple of classes. This is Jesse, I'm sorry. I've taken
yes.
a couple of classes that have been offered free. We've got this little free blurb here that you might be interested in, and it captivates me, and I sign up for it. And after I've done that, then they want to sell me everything they've ever thought of in their entire life. It's like trying to get rid of an old boyfriend. They won't go away. They keep hounding and hounding and hounding. And I would suggest that maybe you don't do that with yours. I think if the class is good enough, and this is just me supervising, if that's even a word, but if the class is what they're looking for, they'll come back for other layers and other classes, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely, and that's an excellent point because, yeah, I don't like to badger people. I feel that my philosophy is if you're ready, you're going to come to my site and you're going to take the courses, and I've outlined it. I've created three archetypes for Wing Academy so that people can, like, self-identify which track they want to be on, and then there are course tracks under each archetype so that if you want to take all the astrology courses, you know that there's 1 through 4. You know, like, you can see a natural progression if you want to go deeper. If not, you can jump around. Some courses have a suggested prerequisite. You know, so people are going to hopefully go on. If they like the first one, then they'll search a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I created a course catalog so that people can see it all at once, if that's easier. If they, you know, an online course catalog, in case they don't want to click around and search. So what do you think about that? Do you think that would make it easier?
It sounds really good, and the reason I'm so interested in this particular topic is I, too, have a class that's out there, and what I've given them is the PDF and the audio that they download and do it at their leisure, so there's no time limit or anything, and they can explore and investigate what works for them and what doesn't. And mine is in 3 levels, but it's only the 1 course. But I really like what you just said about the archetypes and the catalog. That's very cool. I'd like to go look at your website if it's okay.
Oh, yeah, please do. It's go to wingacademy.com.
Thank you.
And it'll take you, I have a bunch of URLs, but that's the easiest one to go to. And if, just shoot me an email at dianewing@wingacademy.com,
mm-hmm.
and I'll send you the catalog directly because it's in, like, the draft stage because I'm still adding courses and instructors to that.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to give one little warning about, my classes aren't time limited, but if you email people your audio and your PDF, then they can just go ahead and forward it to other people. Like, there's no way to protect your product.
I hadn't thought about that. Thank you. Now, my download will run out over time, but that's good to think about. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I mean, we can talk more about that offline if you're interested. I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How about anybody else? What's been your experience with online classes? Sounds like somebody's trying to say something, but it's not coming through. So nobody else has actually taken an online class?
Hi, this is Tammy. I haven't taken an online class, but I have went and researched some. And but what they were talking about earlier with, you know, you go in and they want your email address. You put your email address in, and then you get bombarded with all this other stuff. That kind of made me leery, and it kind of, I got really agitated with it, and I was like, you know, this is not worth my time, unless it's something accredited through a college that I know, or something that, you know, has actually been referred to me by someone else that knows, then I'm not going to fool with this anymore.
Right, okay. Got it. Well, you had a bad experience, sure. It's understandable.
Right.
Okay, yes, and I promise you guys and the universe that that isn't going to happen with mine.
Mine either.
Because that's just not in integrity with how I want to operate, you know. How about, have you heard people say, or have you run into this yourself, that certain people may be technology phobic? And they, you know, they're so used to wanting to have a face-to-face kind of class, a live class, that they may be reluctant to use technology for as a learning platform.
Can you hear me? This is Veronica. Can you hear me? This is Veronica.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but yeah.
Okay, I'm calling from my cell phone. I'm sorry. So that was what was kind of going through my mind when you were talking about the online courses, in that I personally have not taken one because of that leeriness of quality, you know, I'm not sure who this person is. The other piece that keeps, you know, like, I would say almost like triggering me as a let's say a consumer, a potential consumer, is that sense of, as soon as I sign up for something, I do feel like I'm getting bombarded, you know, constantly with sales and, you know, and here's the next thing. And it also feels like there's this protocol that's out there, which is, you know, there's a little bit of a carrot, and it's really not anything of quality, and then, or maybe it's a little bit, and then they don't give you anything of meat, and then you've got to go deeper, and there's that sense of deeper. So I really liked what you said about, you know, if you know that there's four courses, it's very clear cut from the beginning. And you can say, do I want all four, or do I want to just pick and choose? So I think that's valuable. And then the other piece has to do a lot with this person-to-person connection, right? I honestly still am enjoying human connection. And even if it's online versus, let's say, in person, it feels much more satisfying on whatever level. So I guess the question that I'm just putting out there as a kind of a generic question is how to make people like me, not necessarily around the technology, but around feeling like connected and not just being in school. Because in all honesty, I don't like the idea of being in school. I don't like the idea of tests. I don't like the idea of, you know, oh my gosh, you know, it's like taking an, online driver's ed because I have to or because I failed something. So there's just that old stuff in me. And maybe it's just me, but it seems valuable in some way, shape, or form to have that human quality still present in some way. And maybe you've addressed this in your online courses, but that's just my perspective.
I completely agree, and I think connection is what we're all about as spiritual practitioners, right? So the system that I'm using is a learning management system that allows me not only to create the multimedia courses where they can hear my voice and they can watch a video or whatever, but they, by virtue of buying that class, they are then also part of a private group of other students taking that same course. And so the students can chat in this room and talk to each other like on Facebook, and they can interact and also ask the instructor questions. So they're not apart. Like, it's not like, okay, well, here's your class and don't bother me. It's more like, okay, here's your class and let's make sure that we are, we stay connected and that you are interacting with your the other students, so that if you each have the same question, we can all discuss it. We could discuss the information in the course. I think that also helps to assimilate the knowledge. right, to be able to discuss the material. Because a lot of these people are kind of isolated in different parts of the country, and they don't have anybody to talk to about what they're learning. And so to have
And so the question, I guess, would be, how do you convey that in terms of how is yours that has this quality conveyed as a potential consumer to me? You know, how do I get that feeling of touchy-feely connection in your, do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, so it seems to me, what I'm seeing for you is, how can you, in terms of your marketing, convey that deep connection rather clearly and in a way that says, oh, this is, you know, not what I might be thinking from my past experiences of courses. So that's really more of an approach or a marketing question for you versus something that necessarily has to be answered. Maybe you already have the answer.
Absolutely, and I emphasize that in the catalog. If you'd like me to send you the catalog, please don't send it out to anybody if I do that, because, you know, it's still in draft. But if you guys would like to see it, I'd be happy to send it out, and then you can see the effect, and I'd love to have any additional feedback that you may have. But our time is up for this topic. So now we have 7 minutes left on the call, and I just wanted to get some feedback from you guys about how you felt about the call and if you felt this was worthwhile time spent, and if you think we should continue to do this.
I think it's interesting because you can get all the experiences of different people, and it's good. It's good for you to learn about other people's experiences. So I think you should continue with this. It's really good.
Okay, thank you. Great.
Diane, this is Jesse. I really appreciate the call. I love that you have the same time so that we aren't all over the board and we're on topic through the whole thing. It makes taking notes easier. I had a lot of these questions in my head and didn't even realize they were there until the answers started pouring in. So thank you very much to everyone who spoke. I really appreciate all the wisdom and knowledge that I have gleaned from the call. And I think it's a wonderful idea. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Anyone else?
This is Angela. I just want to say I really enjoyed listening to everybody, and it helped me hear you guys, and it helped me realize what works for myself and what works for you and brings clarity. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been great, and I think, you know, if we come every time that the meeting is and we get more familiar with everything and feel more comfortable, they'll even go better. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Great. So what do you think about frequency, monthly, quarterly?
I would think that we'll be better if it is quarterly, because the people that didn't hear, they can go back and hear, and you know, inside of the network, and like because I'm really thinking and I really am not to, I am the game of not overwhelming people, but even though I do. You know, that can help certain times. We are having and you know, this is like a private thing. We are having a big slow inflow of new writers in the writers community every single day. It's like in one day last week we had like 10 people, and I was like, what the heck is going on? Everybody coming here, you know, I was like, whoa. And those people actually, they're producing very good content. And some of them I know, they wrote, you know, articles once in a while, and they were good content. And I would like to bring those people in to the mastermind. I'm just observing them a little bit more, and I think they have a lot to contribute. But before they get in the shape to be here, like taking the master classes, I believe they need more training as, you know, how to be inside of them, how to perfect the formula, which is not exclusive of sometimes, of course, but it is a formula that we see that works in order to see in the same wavelength and in the same environment that, like, we play as a team. So I would like this to be more quarterly because I have this big contingency of people that I am intending to actually, I would give quite a better term, train to be with us in a master class. So if we can have this quarterly, because I'm intending to have, I talked to Kathy, to have the normal conferences monthly, you know, and then the editors can be present as well to clarify them, you know, this is a new thing, this is how we choose the spiritual articles, health articles, personal growth articles, yada, yada, yada. You know, so to have this, to give the feeling that first, that we are team, second is that we are here to help support each other, to do our best. So, if my suggestion would be that if we can keep this quarterly and we bring more people, you know, it will enrich tremendously this intentional brainstorming, if you will, session.
Okay, great. So it sounds like we're going to do quarterly since there are other meetings happening in between, so it's not like we're not connected in between that time. So we will start scheduling these masterminds quarterly, and we are coming up to the top of the hour, so I want to respect everyone's time, and thank you so much for being on the call. And Leanne, I will send this recording to you so that you or Kathy can post it to everyone. And thanks so much for your participation.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.